Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now. Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today I sit down with Jules Galloway. Welcome, Jules.
Hi.
Glad to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Why don't you start off a little bit and kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself? Like where you're from, where you were born, kind of like some big highlights in your childhood.
Wow. I am from the UK, from Hampshire in the UK and south of England. I was born many years ago, way too many years ago, and I came to Canada 10 years ago, so I've been here for 10 years. Big highlights in my childhood, my mum was a very big name in business. She was a big role model for me in terms of working females. My mm-hmm. dad was a very successful professional as well, but my mum was it was unusual as we grew up.
So definitely. In the UK, where in the UK?
Hampshire.
Hampshire,
the south.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so kind of halfway between London and the southeast coast. So, yeah. So she did a lot of work, and then I realized as I grew older, you know, being a working female was definitely something that was sort of in my blood. It wasn't something I ever thought about. So I've always been self-sustaining in that regard. So.
So how did you make the decision to come to Canada? Because you obviously were in England for a while and working, I take it?
Indeed, yeah. Well, I got into the design build industry when I was in my early 20s. Prior to that, I actually moved to South Africa effectively on my own when I was 17. So, which was an amazing time. It was an amazing time to be in South Africa. I moved the year after apartheid was lifted, and I left 3 or 4 months before Mandela was voted in.
So you were there how long?
4 years. Because
I was going to say your accent sounds South African.
A bit South African, yeah.
Yeah. For sure, you picked up
I
a
get
bit
that
there.
All the time. South African, English, Australian.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a little bit of everything in there now. Not Australian, but. So that was obviously a big part of my world. Got into the industry that I'm in now very early on and started my own business very early on.
Why don't you tell us about all those businesses and we'll connect it all back later. So you operate a few businesses. Can you just tell us the
names? I do, yes. Evolve Design Build is my design, commercial interior design build practice. We do commercial interior designing, space planning, building, overseeing the construction,
you
that
do some
kind of
big
thing.
Projects as well too,
we
including
do
you're
some...
doing the stuff for the Landmark 7 building.
We are, yeah, very proud to be part of the Landmark 7 building. That's going to be an amazing thing on our skyline. So yeah, do some big projects. We work with a lot of not-for-profits. So we did the Child Advocacy Center. Yeah. We work with Foundry.
I got a tour through there just recently. It's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a beautiful space. You guys have done some great work there too. So. Yeah, very proud to be part of projects with purpose, we call it. So having projects that mean something to people, that change people's worlds. We're very, very involved in that kind of thing and actively pursue that sort of work because it's very meaningful to me as a human, and it's very meaningful to my team when you can actually produce something that has a great effect on people's worlds.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah.
I love design. I love all the things that are about design. I love design and what you wear and where you kind of like live and cohabitate and where you work. I think it's a big thing for people in calming the mind or whatever.
There's a huge amount to design that people really don't necessarily think about. And we're very specifically commercial interior design. That's because my brain is much more... I want to say sort of more logical, scientific kind of. I want to understand the data behind how things work, acoustics, biophilia. You know, the act of bringing plants into the workplace, healthy workspaces, ergonomics. There's a lot more of that aspect in commercial interior design, the functionality of a space.
So is Evolve the first business in Kelowna, or did you add the hub after? So
Evolve was the first business, At the same time, I started Space Measuring, which is a building measuring company. It was really born out of the message being much clearer than it previously was. So where we had all of the operations in-house previously, where I did commercial interior design, space planning, we measured buildings for people, we did commercial moves and that kind of thing, it was a bit of a messy story, so it made logical sense for me to break that up. So Evolve became the commercial interior design practice. Space Measuring is a very simple, very straightforward company that that I own that measures commercial space for the purposes of understanding lease.
Kind of different people that work in the two different places, probably more analytical over there and then very more creative on the
so,
other side.
Very right? much so, yeah. And I mean it's fun regardless, but it's a different demographic for sure. And then Hub.
Excuse me.
Hub Office Furniture was born out of my passion and desire and need to fill a gap in the market for quality, design-led, well-priced commercial furniture that we were backed up with amazing service and all of the things that we just felt we weren't getting, and we were really struggling as a city to hit that kind of part of the market. So we design build a project, mm-hmm. and we'd have to hand over the furniture part every time and bring it back.
So you fulfilled your own need.
Absolutely. So I opened Hub I think 18 months ago with my business partner Joe, and first business I've ever owned with somebody else, which has been a fantastic experience, a totally different experience to me. And we have literally surpassed every single target we put in front of ourselves, and we were pretty aggressive with that, just because I think what we're offering is just so different. So
well, you put it in the right place, right in the business district.
Right. And we were considering putting it downtown. It was literally a toss-up between the two, and now I think back.
I'm sure a lot of people think, well, why is there a furniture store in the Landmark? But uh-huh. It fits if you think about it, right?
And it's commercial furniture, and it's you know, there's definitely some high-end design-led mm-hmm. pieces in there, but generally speaking, we do large projects. We can fit out one office with a desk, or we can fit out three floors, you know, mm-hmm. or more. So we're working actually across Canada, all the way over to Montreal right mm-hmm. now. So we want to be much more present here, so we're expanding a little bit right now, but that's
awesome.
Yeah. And the final company is a new company on the horizon, which is called Move, and it's a commercial office moves company and a furniture installation company.
So kind of like the whole kind of full 360 on, like, if somebody's looking at space, whether they need to move into the space or move out of the space, and then to design or finish the space.
That's right, Jim, and we do a lot of work at bits and pieces along the way, but really the benefit comes from end to end. You've mm-hmm. just got that one consistent right. sort of umbrella. And I've been in the business for nearly 3 decades. There is very little that I haven't seen. And mm-hmm. I'm endlessly frustrated when you come across mm-hmm. something that should be a straightforward, this is an easy solution, it's an easy fix, why isn't it being done like this? So some people around me might think that's the squirrel effect, but
so let's get back to you. Yes. So how did you decide you're coming to Canada? What led to that decision? Just like kind of look in a book and say, Canada seems like a great place.
I love this story, actually. Well, I lived in South Africa, as I mentioned, for 4.5 years, and I loved the open space and just the outdoor lifestyle, the summer heat, I loved everything about it. Mm-hmm. The wild animals, the extremes of things. And I ended up moving back to the UK fairly reluctantly, actually, four and a bit years after I left in the first place, and never really kind of got that big space bug out of my system. Mm-hmm. And my then husband... And I had, we'd we love to travel. So we came to Canada in 1998, and we came back again in 1999 on our honeymoon and did the Alaska Marine Highway. And just fell in love with the place. I fell in love with the place, actually, more so.
So both times into British Columbia?
Yeah, both times, actually. We did pretty much the same route. We drove from Calgary to Vancouver and back, or some variation of that. So really, we probably came through Kelowna. I didn't actually remember it at the time. Went back with all the ideas that we were going to move to Canada, talked about it incessantly until people just said, stop talking about it or go. And in 2005, our son got quite sick. And you know, you end up, he got encephalitis, and you end up kind of reassessing life a little bit. And at the time I decided, okay, this is enough is enough. We were living in a small village in the UK. And, we decided, okay, let's give it another kick at the can. And we went to a show in London called Emigrate, and, Robert Fine, who's a bit of an awesome character in Kelowna, and I don't know how many times he's heard me say his voice on the radio or whatever, but this is my story. Robert Fine was there at a booth with the Economic Development Commission, basically lured us in and said, well, why wouldn't you come to Kelowna? Golf, sunshine, lakes, water sports, skiing, wine,
less rain,
wine, less rain. A little bit more wine. And we said, okay. So we literally moved. We came the next summer for 8 or 9 weeks, did a few house swaps, and we decided, absolutely, like, what's not to love? We spent the summer here, applied for our permanent residency, and we were here 3.5 years later. We permanently moved 3.5 years later. So we've been here since 2009. So we arrived in the winter, the dead of winter, and minus 18 in the middle of November, and said, what the heck have we done?
Where'd the sun go?
Oh, wait a minute. Robert Fine didn't mention this bit.
It comes back in March.
But no, never look back. Not one day. Absolutely. That's loved awesome. It.
So when did you start on the business side of it? Like, is that right away when you, like...
Yeah. So as I'd mentioned before, the previous iteration of these businesses was one business that did everything. And the message was very different. It's difficult to get across. Very different... than the way business is done in the UK. We kind of imagined that everything would be the same, and it really, really wasn't. So we started with the previous iteration, which was called Galloway CAD, and pushed it all out. And it was quite difficult.
So you were doing the drawings and everything.
Yeah, the drafting. And Galloway CAD still exists under my husband, my ex-husband's name. So we... that was the drafting aspect of things. But again, we were doing space planning and everything, but that name didn't look like that. So I think we were maybe 4 or 5 months until we were self-sufficient. We came over with about a year's worth of savings in our back pockets. We could survive. And
a little bit of cushion.
Yeah. And that was, we got up and running. People liked the message. Yeah. I was naive enough to think that people were were open enough to hear my arrogance to agitate this market a little bit. But
so, what was your first big design like here for Evolve?
I think we started on the path doing very functional, beautiful spaces. Peel Law downtown was our first project, and at the time it was very much a part of the work that we do at Evolve. Is we sing to the rooftops that we do amazing design, and we do all of the projects end to end, but what we really, really excel at is the nuts and bolts of keeping organizations running while their designs and while their renovations are working and that kind of thing. And that was a beautiful example of that. As a result of Peel Law, we did several other law firms downtown. We got very much involved in professional buildings, doctors, lawyers, clinic spaces, which led us to the Canadian Mental Health Association. And then we did Foundry 3 or 4 years ago. So Foundry, in its first iteration, it was the brainchild of Dr. Steve Mathias down in in St. Paul's Hospital in Vancouver, and we were very lucky enough to be involved in the first five that were out. So they were kind of rolling the road out in front of themselves as they were building it, you know. So it was an amazing opportunity for us to get involved in the nuts and bolts of how that new paradigm of healthcare was being pulled out, and 22 different agencies were being put into one space to deliver end-to-end kind of service for youth ages 12 to 24. So it was amazing to me. It was a real life change for me in terms of we need to be working with projects that actually have some purpose, some value to the people that you're using, rather than, you know, there's definite value, of course, in making amazing spaces for law firms, especially if you can get the function and the roles working out well. But this was just like, this made a difference when parents were saying they can bring their young person through the door when they previously couldn't do that because it was stuffy and old and uninviting and intimidating and all of these things, and we can actually change that and have some effect on some people's lives. It actually really changed my mindset.
So what's your role most of the time, like in then and now maybe? Like how do you fit into all that?
It's a good question. I was advised by a mentor maybe 3 years ago to enable me to be able to expand the businesses and do more of what I want to do with the businesses. I had to be more on than in, which was the best piece of advice that you can get. I've never had too much trouble delegating. It's not been a problem of mine keeping everything in, but for the longest time I was doing pretty much everything.
You were the pause on everything.
Everything, yeah. I mean, even to the
point. That's a tough thing for people when they start a business, for sure, myself too. Like, because you're kind of like the janitor to whatever it is,
absolutely,
whatever it takes, right? And then to start to trust people to do it, and then you can actually, like you say, work on the business as opposed to in the business,
and be able to strategize properly, be able to put some things into practice,
or do podcasts.
Exactly. Look at me now. I've made it. I'm on the 16th floor. No, the growth has been very, very quick. You know, we were downtown in CoLab, in the co-working space, I want to say 4 years ago, one office, me and one part-time person. And within a year or maybe 10 months, we were two offices and four, you know, and now we've got two spaces down in the Landmark District, and eight staff, and now we have Hub, and it's, you know, it's grown really well. We've been very, very well received. I think our reputation has preceded us, which is good, it's exactly how we've wanted to operate and how I want the team to operate. So, I mean, to answer your question, with Hub, I Evolve definitely feeds Hub with work, and that's definitely a benefit. However, the vast majority of Hub's projects come from outside of Evolve, which was not what we had predicted within the first year or so. The vast majority, we're a drop in the bucket, so we've been very well received with the design community and others. So I'm not terribly involved in the day-to-day there, and with Evolve I'm much more involved in the day-to-day. So we are that's, you know, my main office is there, and I operate out of there. But again, I allow the designers, the agency, to work on their projects end to end without me putting. Design is very subjective, so I don't want to necessarily come in and say I would do it like this, or did you think about that? We're obviously very collaborative, but I like to think of the designers to be able to create something that's their vision without somebody dropping.
So do you have any kind of like centering kind of like goals or kind of like values that you kind of, for your business and for yourself, that you kind of bring into everything you do?
Yeah, I do, all the way through, a thread all the way through. Projects with purpose, as I'd mentioned, is something that we've coined, and obviously the cliche around hashtags at the moment, but it is a hashtag that we use because I believe in it. That's a value. We work with with integrity within all of the businesses and make sure that there's a level to my mind, if you're in business, you need to be choosing your clients as much as they're choosing you, and that just has to be a symbiotic relationship. And there's certainly been opportunities where we've actually walked away from something because the connection maybe wasn't what we'd hoped it to have been in terms mm-hmm. of a value system. So I'm not scared of doing that, and I wouldn't recommend anybody be scared of doing that, because I think that it really shines through in the work that you're doing. Recently had a project that we walked away from because one of the clients was verging on abusive to the staff members, and mm-hmm. we talk about having a very healthy workplace, a mentally healthy workplace. We support and subscribe to mentally healthy workplaces outside of where we design, so we need to be walking the walk as well. So mm-hmm. that's what I feel very strongly about, is that our team environment is something that allows our team to develop within a safe environment, to be able to move forward.
How do you feed the creative mind, your own and your staff? Like, how do you make sure they have the fuel they need to be creative?
I think that there's a couple of things. We work on a billable hours kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. That's what our industry does. So I make sure that there's enough buffer in that billable hours opportunity that people have time to go and take a walk or sit outside or sit at their desk or read a book or color or do whatever they need to do in order to maintain that creativity, to maintain that fresh head, because nobody works well under pressure. Not in our environment or anybody else's, but under pressure, our industry particularly is problematic to be able to pull something amazing out of the hat. So giving them that opportunity, we do a little bit of flexible hours as well in the offices. We do lots of teamwork, lots of team buy-in to the big picture of the company is very important to me. We do quarterly team meetings and talk about core values and that kind of thing to make sure that people are feeling worthy and worthwhile in their role, and if people are happy coming to work. We give opportunities for education within the companies and awesome. That kind of thing to be able to develop everybody else. And for me, I travel as much as I can and I float. Those are the two things that bring me the creative
float.
Edge.
Explain float.
I love to go to the float tanks.
Oh, you've
never
float.
Been to a float
okay, there
tank?
You go. I haven't. You know, the claustrophobia would kind of like drive me crazy.
It doesn't. You can practically stand up in there, Jim. It's not claustrophobic.
Oh, it's just. I was trapped in the submarine in West Edmonton Mall there. It doesn't even really go. I mean, it's underwater, but there's still a thing. But they got stuck for 4 hours, and I was like, okay, just open the lid and let us out.
Okay, that claustrophobia I get. This is, imagine yourself in 10 inches of magnesium-filled water you cannot possibly sink. Hmm. And even if you did.
Must clear your mind, though. Must be great.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I'll have to try, because I love, creative is kind of, I love design, I love creative.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a cool thing. And you know, like feeding that and relaxing the mind and feeding the mind is kind of a cool thing.
Literally fall asleep. And I think one of the stats is that you're in there for 90 minutes, and 90 minute sleep is the equivalent of a 6 hour sleep. Wow. And I mean, it seems beyond possibility for anybody to think that you could go in there and sleep. It literally shuts my brain down. Mm. And I don't do the whole sensory deprivation thing. Still have the beautiful blue light on. I still have the music
on. Yeah, I don't think I could do that. Yeah. So I'm done. Sorry.
But no, it's awesome. It's a fantastic thing.
So what's the road ahead look like for you? What do you want to do? What's the next big kind of thing? And how do you keep yourself happy in what you're doing?
Personally, have a busy year, buying a house as we speak and getting married at the end of the year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Getting married.
Getting married here in Kelowna?
No, in Maui.
Oh, Maui. Yeah. Well, there you go. I thought you said married.
I did. Maui'd in Maui.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's a big year. So and Evolve is doing really well, and so is Hub. So I have got the squirrel tendency to, you know, oh, what's next? What's missing? You know, what do we need? What gap do we need to fill? But the growth pattern for Evolve, the trajectory needs to be stable, and I've learned some tools to pull myself back and refocus. And with some decisions that I made last year that I regret in terms of the business, I've learned some hard lessons, a lot of self-searching, and I'm determined to keep that growth trajectory in a solid, strategic way, so that we continue to grow in a very healthy, sustainable way. Mm-hmm. So as much as I have some other ideas in terms of what would be additionally, would complement the suite of companies, if you will, I'm trying to keep them under wraps a little bit, just to make sure that we are very safe, very secure, as much as you can be in an economy like ours, and just keep the growth nice and safe and steady for the sake of the people that work at Evolve.
Because, yeah, we're responsible for the people that we employ, too, because they got mortgages and car payments and families to feed and all that stuff.
And nothing came closer to making me realize that than a situation the late part of last year, where we lost a project. And it showed me how I had taken my eye off the ball in terms of how we gain projects. Mm-hmm. So we have been very busy for a very long time, and strategy kind of maybe fell off the radar. Mm-hmm. And I really believe you have to be very, you have to focus, you have to keep your eye on that ball, and you have to be making sure that you are, as well as it's going over here, you're three steps ahead of everything. And I certainly realized when we lost that project that I had not been three steps ahead, and it very much risked the mortgages and the lifestyle of my team, and that was devastating to me. So definitely some big life lessons going on there, and you just have to make sure it doesn't zap your entrepreneurial spirit to keep moving forward, but just to do it in a safe way.
Yeah, you can use it as fuel to push yourself forward now and to learn.
Yeah.
You know, when you have tough times, that's what you learn from.
Indeed.
What scares you in the world right now? Like, what's scary for you? And it doesn't have to be in your business. It could be just, you know, out there. Something that's kind of got you worried.
I think having personal and professional experience with child and youth mental health, I am devastated to see what's going on in our community and the larger community, BC, Canada, the world even. A lot of people are doing everything they possibly can to raise the awareness, reduce the stigma around that kind of thing. But as I mentioned, just having some very, very intense personal experience with that, I realized that people's lives are shattered with things that are going on behind closed doors. So what we're talking about is a fraction of what's actually happening. So there's a lot of people doing some amazing work. I just think we have a long way to go. And that scares me because there's so many facets around that. I have teenage children, and the fact that they can't put the phone down, and even when they do want to put the phone down, the phone is buzzing at
the drawback towards
constantly.
It is so strong, yeah.
Constantly. I have the analogy that you're sitting on a stage in the dark, but there's 7,000 people out there, and they're all, yeah, the spotlight's going on one of them. Hey, me, I've got something over here. Oh yeah, over here. Look. And there's not, their brains are just fried with it. Mm. And I think it's something that we couldn't have necessarily anticipated 10 years ago. But I think it's going to have a massive effect on everything, workforce, economy.
It's a great tool, but like any great tool, it can be used or overused or abused or whatever, become, you know, all-encompassing though too, right? So that's the danger of it for sure.
And I'm as addicted to that tool as my teenage children.
Well, it's a big part of everybody's life, so you got to find a way to kind of separate yourself from it a little bit sometimes too, right?
Yeah.
What's got you excited? What gets you up in the morning, gets you all jazzed up? And
oh, look where we live. Look where we live. I mean, the opportunities, I never would have thought that from a personal development and a business development perspective that going that extra mile, having that extra nerve to go out there and try something new would have been so rewarding. And it's always been my MO, but for one reason or another, I spent a while not taking some of those risks, and latterly I've taken a lot more. And it's just so rewarding to be received so well. So it gets me up in the morning, it gets me moving forward. I'm excited about the prospect of this city for sure, the interior of BC. I think that we're an amazing economy, we're worth growing. So I love where we live. I'm so grateful for my life, and I feel that we've got so much. There's so much possibility here as a city that I'm just delighted to have been a part of it when it was essentially at ground level. I mean, mm-hmm. we've grown so much in the last 10 years in this city.
How important is design or fashion or style or the space you're in to a person? Or how do you kind of get people to kind of see that it's more important than just the cost, like to a typical accountant? It's like, well, we put one desk in and one chair.
Yeah, yeah.
The cheapest possible chair, the cheapest possible desk. Like, how do you kind of tell them it's, you know, it's like everything that you do and should be with purpose and stuff like that? How do you convince those types of people?
I think there's always going to be people that are not receptive to that. But the message that we always have is on a very, very basic level, there's a level below which we won't ever go in terms of quality of product, because I'm passionate about not filling our landfills up with things, mm-hmm. and also healthy workplaces. So I always talk about the fact that a chair that you might go and buy from Costco is, you know, it's going to be in the landfill in 3 years' time, but two of those years you're going to have been wobbling on it and your back's mm-hmm. going to have hurt. So it's not even as though we're talking about a yearly cycle. You've got the injury aspect of that as well. So that's an easy sell for me. There's a level below which we don't go from a design perspective at Evolve or a furniture perspective at Hub. But the feeling of how a place works, how an office, our facility like Foundry or the Child Advocacy Centre works, that is so rewarding to me that I feel that the passion comes through when I speak to people about that, and they get it. They understand that if this consult room, if somebody that's telling their life story and sharing the most intimate of details to somebody here, perhaps for the first time ever, if they can hear somebody doing the same thing in the room next door, then they're going to mm-hmm. shut down.
Right.
So there's a factual side of it. There's a statistical side of it there that really touches the personal element that people can feel coming through me. And when we concentrate on projects like that, that's definitely something that would make sense. Also, you know, the feeling, we've gone through your offices here, Jim, and that space is beautiful that you've got there. And that for me, that feeling of people wanting to be in the space, attraction, retention. We're working with a company right now that's moving into Landmark 7, but they're taking some temporary space in Landmark 3 in the meantime, and their whole purpose is to attract and retain people from the Kelowna market. They're coming in here for the first time. What's going to make that happen? Because mm-hmm. a broken desk or a pedestal or a dull brown carpet is not going to be that space. You have to be competitive in this day and age, whether you're a lawyer, an accountant, or whether you're a tech firm, whatever that looks like. So I think a lot of that, we understand, we educate, we speak to what we know in terms of the design, I hate to use the word trends, but the design data, the research, that kind of thing. And hopefully that's, if somebody's bringing you in there, they're wanting to tap into to your advice.
That's awesome. Anything else you'd like to share, or you want to, questions you have, or from your end?
I don't know, Jim. I hadn't really thought about questions. I could have come up with a corker for you. What do you like to do in your spare time,
me?
Jim?
Yeah. I don't know. I just like everything. I like every day. Every day is a gift. And I think that I try to be a better version of myself every day. I mean, got a long way to go, I guess. But
don't we all?
Yeah. I'm a big believer in habits and rituals, and I'm a big believer in... I love design and space and creativity and stuff like that. I love creating campaigns for clients. I love that energy, you know. I think it's fun, like, you know what I mean? It's, you know, even when I'm standing in line at a, you know, getting coffee, and it's like, wow, I do this or this or this. So the mind's always kind of going.
Absolutely.
Right? So you're always kind of,
absolutely,
how do you make things better? So I love challenges, I love opportunity. I'm kind of like the guy that loves chaos because I think I shine in chaos.
Nice.
So that's... I don't mind that. I probably get bored if there wasn't a lot of chaos going on. So yeah,
it's hard to take that design out of you, isn't it, when you're when you're thinking. I think I drive Lee, my fiance, crazy. We'll go to, in fact I've got him doing it now, we'll go to a hotel or whatever, and I'll be like, wonder why they put the legs like that on that or that, and it just, I can't help myself. I love it. Like you say, it's fun, it's interesting.
I respect fashion too, because it doesn't matter what the fashion is. I just like somebody put an effort in what they put on.
Absolutely.
That's all. I mean, it doesn't have to be my fashion. It could be just like, you know, like, I'm not plaid, I don't wear plaid, but, you know, somebody comes in and they got plaid this and that, and I'm like, nice, right? Like,
yeah,
put some thought into it. Just roll out of bed and fell into their clothes. Yeah. Right? I love that. You know, jewelry, obviously you love the platinum look,
yeah,
right? I'm like, I love that, right? So it's awesome. I think in a big, proud Canadian of our resource sector, and I think it's great. So, yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. So how can people find you on social media? Are you active on social media? Or?
Yep. I've got the wonderful team working on the Instagram and doing an amazing job. So see the Instagram. You see how
you're kind of the George Bush
I'm
there.
Exactly. The interweb. Yes. Evolve_design_build is our Instagram. What's the name? Handle?
Yeah, that's the handle.
And yeah, we do hub office furniture as well, and then Facebook. And I love to write. We blog.
Do you have personal channels that you run, or you're more through the business?
I have a personal channel for Jules Evolve. Jules_Evolve_Design_Build, which is where I put a lot of my personal kind of value systems and things like that out, and articles that I enjoy reading. And
LinkedIn at all?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. LinkedIn is kind of my era.
Yeah, there you go. I think LinkedIn is great.
Nikki
showed me LinkedIn.
Did she? I like LinkedIn. I feel comfortable in LinkedIn. I mess around with Instagram and have my daughter tell me, what are you doing, Mom? You just posted that thing on your page like 15 times. So I get told off. I have to stay well away from it. But yeah.
You got to try the TikTok.
Yeah. My niece does TikTok. It's hilarious. I love it. But
So is there a favorite channel? Is it LinkedIn your favorite channel?
Or? LinkedIn. Well, yeah. I live on Facebook, but LinkedIn for sure. Yeah. Yeah. LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn just for the articles, just for the ability to, it is purely business. Mm-hmm. Where
B2B, it's nice. It's a nicer, cleaner kind of environment where there's not a lot of, what's the word, crazies.
Yes. Yes. And you're reading what you want to read. Yeah. You can, so it seems to be a lot easier to subscribe to what you want to read.
And then Instagram, I think, is a great visual place for sure. Like, it's great.
In our industry, it's absolutely imperative. And I think that a lot of people have been drawn to our designs. We're very bold and bright and vibrant. And one of our hashtags has got a swear word in it, for no beige. I won't say it out loud, but it's...
You can say it out loud.
Can I? We have no fucking beige. Hashtag no fucking beige.
No beige.
I'm allowed to swear. Can we rewind and start again?
Just fill it all in.
Yeah. Because that's exactly who we are. And we have that up in our design studio because this bold and vibrant needs to happen. So, if you look across our
impact.
Our projects...
Impact. Make a statement, right? Make some impact.
And it's just paint, guys, move away from the fear. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do a little quick fire to close this off.
Okay.
Yeah. Favorite place to dine in Kelowna? You're probably going to say lots, right?
Oh, so many.
Because I know you're going to offend somebody probably.
No, but I'm going to tell you my latest. It's the Salt and Brick. We've just done the Salt and Brick in down on Bernard for Valentine's. Oh, nice. My God, that was an amazing experience. Yeah.
Favorite wine? Varietal first?
I love Syrah or Shiraz. Hmm. My favorite at the moment is definitely, oh my gosh, too many. I love Grey Monk. Grey Monk is great. Yeah.
Sweet.
Love their
is there a favorite activity you have here in Kelowna?
Favorite activity is probably my floating, I've got to say. Oh, nice. Love to float, a gravity float. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, I thank you for sharing your road to now. It's been awesome.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Let's do it again next year, see if I've got another business.
You bet.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Rock.
Bye now.
Thank you. Goodbye. That's awesome. You're fun.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.